people are always seeking more information, right? We are all lifelong learners in that capacity. And I think this idea of authenticity really comes back to this idea that we're all searching constantly. It's that search for everything. Mm-hmm. Not to, you know, slide in a John Mayer album reference, but.
Sip, create, repeat. A podcast providing marketing strategies you can consume over a cup of coffee.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sip, Create, Repeat podcast. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about messaging, being authentic, being real and relatable. But first, I want to talk a little bit about marketing news. So, Alicia, what do you have going on in the marketing news section?
Happy to share, Chris, as always. So, recently, we were chatting about Facebook ads. We were chatting about running advertising on Google. And, you know, this is that kind reminder that there are other places on the internet to run your advertisements and where you should be running ads right now. So they include Twitter. Like, we all forget about Twitter being an ad platform, right? But those promoted tweets slide in, and they're one of my husband's, like, veins of existence. All I hear is, why are there sponsored ads in his Twitter feed? But they made $1.19 billion with a B in revenue last quarter, mostly from ads. Ridiculous, right? They now have 200 million daily active monetizable users, right? So don't discount Twitter as just that snarky platform you love to go see what's happening on and what Wendy's tweeted about today, right? Like, go get your ads on there, right? And then the other one is Snapchat. Now, I love our internal Snapchat for the handshake team. It's one of the reasons why I open it daily. Lots of dog photos. We will post them elsewhere for the dogs of handshake another time. But Snapchat alone made $982 million in revenue last year on ads. So they now have 293 million daily active users. So do not think that just those big boys of Facebook and Instagram are the only places you should be playing right now. Everyone's in the sandbox, and you got to go maybe go to a different corner, go play with that kid with the silly haircut. Yeah. Like, you know, go get your ad game on and then have fun and see how you can make money in the long run. So that's on ads. Another topic that I have become the local representation, you know, the audio-based messaging, you know, representative here of Handshake. I'm back talking about Clubhouse again. Shocking. But maybe not in the direction you thought I would have been talking about, because Clubhouse's success seems to be failing, seems to be falling down. They were climbing up that hill, and all of a sudden, done, right? So they dropped to number 930 in free apps, huge plummet, right? And new Clubhouse stats from Sensor Tower, we're looking at 7.7 million installs in June, which still nothing to shake a stick at, you know, but definitely down. But 5.85 million of those were in India specific, where it was brand new. So that leaves only 1.8 million downloads, doing the math for you today, for the rest of the world, right? There's a lot of other people out there too. So it previously, for comparison, did 2.7 million downloads in the US in March alone. So, you know, it's one of those, was it the darling of the internet, of the mobile device back during the pandemic when we all couldn't communicate as easily and Clubhouse became the it gal in the room? And, you know, now she's just looking a little haggard and looking like she needs a nap. Yeah. Like, who knows what's going on, right? Like, so I'm going to continue to bring you the hot pressing news on Clubhouse and related audio networking apps. Until then, Julia, what else is happening out there?
Yeah, so exciting news from Google. They just added an About This Result panel. So this panel is going to kind of make your SEO dreams come true. When you are Googling something and all of these links pop up and you're like, okay, why the heck is this one doing better than this one? Why is this link working? Why is this popping up first? What this panel is going to do, this About This Result panel, is going to show you things like matching keywords, related terms, different links that are related, and relevance, like your local relevance. So it's going to give you this kind of backdoor hint as to why some of these websites are appearing higher than others, why some of these search results are doing better. So I think this is going to be a big step for people to start looking at more. Definitely help your marketing efforts, you know, boost your websites. You can take a look at this panel and see, you know, why is what's Google polling? What algorithm is being used for this website compared to this website.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, just to go back a touch on the Clubhouse side of things, a lot of people kind of saw this coming because the Clubhouse mostly is a feature. And as soon as the other big players got in the game, it was going to crush it because they just added the feature to their already, like, you know, user-rich platforms, whether it's Spotify or it's Facebook or it's Twitter. Like, these platforms are already so, like, concrete in the social world and the social app space. And then you have, obviously, Spotify with podcasting and music. Like, it all just kind of made sense that Clubhouse is going to have to evolve in some capacity. Otherwise, they're just going to continue to see the decline because people don't want to have just one more app. They would rather have more features inside of their apps.
Well, adding on to that, I also just read Clubhouse removed its invite-only feature. So, like, yeah, that exclusivity of it is now gone.
Right, right. And that was that Dropbox back in the day, Pat? If I recall correctly, it was invite-only. Like, you had to, or if you invited someone, you got more space, was Dropbox's whole thing when they were first launching. And that was just a way to get users to join, right? I'll admit, like, I haven't touched Clubhouse in a while. I actually got rid of it off of my phone just because I felt like every time I went in there, I was getting into the wrong rooms, and it just, I don't know, it was another app where it's like, okay, I have enough I have to try to check in on every day, and adding one more to the plate, I just wasn't using it quite enough. But yeah, I would use drop-in audio on one of the other platforms for sure.
I think it'll be important to see how, you know, the Spotify version of that continues to grow, right? Or I've seen it on, they've added it to Discord as well, you know, which is a very based communication-based app. So I think it'll be interesting to see if that feature continues to gain traction, even though it sounds like Clubhouse kind of losing its traction. But, so let's dive into our main segment today. We want to talk about messaging and just why it's important to be authentic, relatable, and, you know, why it matters. So I'll let Chris just, like, kind of dive in here and, you know, talk to us about why it's important for brands, companies, people on the internet to just kind of be authentic in how they're communicating with everyone.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that we see, and honestly, I'm guilty of it too, whenever I content write for us as the agency, I'm, like, really nerdy and, like, technical. And what I realize is that the brand voice of us in general, like, if you're watching this video, t-shirts, hats, like, you know, we're not super structured, we're not super corporate, we're not super serious, we're way more laid back and relaxed. And yet when I write, sometimes it's very, very, like, technical and a little bit too much. And I find that we get better engagement when we're a little bit more relaxed. I'm not saying to be unprofessional. I think that's a clear definition that we need to have here. Don't be unprofessional, but be relatable. And you're going to find that people are going to attach to your brand that way, because they're going to be able to just connect with it. And they're going to say, like, yeah, that's me. And I feel that sense of, you know, connectivity to this brand that I don't even know. And I think people lose sight of that. And that's why copywriters are so important to your business. So whether you have an online store, you just have an online business or a small business in general, it matters everywhere. If you're running those, like, newspaper advertisements, if you're running billboards, if you're running direct mail postcards, your messaging is the key to getting people to convert over from just, like, oh God, not another ad, to, oh, like, yeah, that does make sense. That does feel like, you know, it's targeted more towards me and the things I've gone through or the things I'm currently going through. So, Alicia, any, you know, as the, you know, agency copywriter, what are your thoughts on authenticity versus, like, being super, you know, like, structured and big picture?
It's very interesting. My career has been seasoned with a lot of different aspects of social media. So being on, you know, the agency side where we're representing different brands, every brand has a different voice. So some, I'm writing content that is needs to have a little bit of technicality to it, right? And Chris, especially with your background, you know, web development kind of needs some technicality to it, right? Like, you can't just, you know, so there is a time and place for it. But When we can have fun and let that fun come out in the verbiage, in the word choice, when we get to be sassy, when we get to inject some humor, it definitely has that reverb through not only just the vibe of an individual post, but it then carries throughout the entire rest of the platform's content, you know, what we're doing from social media to email marketing, even website copy. You know, and sometimes it takes a while. It takes a while even just as you start with a new brand or a new to you brand and figuring out what hits, what doesn't hit, everything from emoji choice, even, you know, Julia's strong data background, let us, you know, gave us like, hey, don't use these emojis. And we're like, how is this a thing? Like, this is insane and amazing, but it all comes together. And then, in my, you know, many side hustle shenanigans I get myself into, I've been an influencer now for a significant amount of years. And that if anyone getting into that game, this is the biggest piece of advice that anyone comes to you with is know who you are and stick with it. So, you know, sometimes there's that, you know, that mom that is like super homey and is listening to Joanne Gaines all day. Let's talk about shiplap and all the things. Like I know there's some great influencers in that space, but I ain't that girl. I'm that girl rolling down the street with like 50 Cent playing on my way to daycare. So I'm looking for people are looking for similar people to themselves, right?
Yeah.
So I find anytime that I'm open about my struggles with mental health, or if I'm answering questions about, you know, how I got into yoga, like people are always seeking more information, right? We are all lifelong learners in that capacity. And I think this idea of authenticity really comes back to this idea that we're all searching constantly. It's that search for everything. Not to, you know, slide in a John Mayer album reference, but it's there, right? Like we're all just constantly wanting to connect. That's why Clubhouse was so popular in the pandemic, especially because we didn't have the chance to do it in person. So we were seeking that in the moment exchange, human to human, constantly. So it's evident. It's 100% evident when people are overreaching, when people aren't doing enough, even. Like, and that's why showing up as yourself, as your brand, is 100% the way always to make a splash and to keep people engaged.
For
I think, Alicia, like, to that point, don't you also think that sometimes it's important for, you know, the people behind the brand to let their person at, like, they might have a perception of, like, I need to speak this way about my product, but the people that are running that product or running that business, that's not how they operate. And I think, you know, the closer that you can have a, like, the messaging match the brand with the people behind the brand, the more people are going to relate to it, right? Like, I'm thinking back to how much we've all been loving whoever's running the Northeast Ohio Sewer District Twitter. Right? You know, I mean, like, I would have never thought that, like, the top, like, five trending things that are on my feed on any given week are from a, you know, regional sewer district and them educating people just kind of about municipalities and things like that. I mean, it was, what, this past Saturday was going crazy with the amount of different like places that were getting tagged and into a into a thread that, like, we were jumping in from an agency side. So I think it's like, you know, just because the topic you're talking about might be what people perceive as boring or uptight or maybe more technical, doesn't mean you can't have a more fun, playful approach to it and still be very effective in what you're trying to communicate.
So on a personal level, on a personal level, and not to toot my own horn, but I think, you know, that's why I've had success as a yoga teacher. You know, yoga is this thousands upon thousands of years practice that I highly respect and have nothing but the utmost respect for. But at the same time, I come at it in a very approachable way. People want to be able to try new things, learn new things, get to know people, right? And Pat, leaning off of what you're saying, like, I love those moments when, you know, the company may jump in and be like, here's the behind the scenes moment. Like, we had a pizza day, you know, like we had a pizza party for ourselves, or just fun little behind the, you know, day-to-day office stuff. Like, people love that type of content. And that just shows you the relating component of all of this and why it pays off.
For sure. And I think, you know, going back, so Saturday night, it was just one of those perfect storms, and it literally was a storm. And if you're on Twitter, at NEORSD. And I kid you not, it is one of the most entertaining accounts to follow. They have 15,600 followers on there right now. And it is such an interesting, like Pat said, you know, something that should be just boring content is entertaining. And now they have over 15,000 followers because of it. Another one, and to give a shout out to one of the other local agencies here in Cleveland, Brokaw, one of the greatest ad campaigns I've ever seen, and I actually saw an Olympic commercial for it when we were watching the Olympics, is Lakeview Cemetery. Mm. So Lakeview Cemetery, downtown Cleveland, it is this, when you look at it, it's this like scary old cemetery, right? Like the wrought iron in the middle of the city. And it's one of those ones like you would see in like scary movies. But they started running ads to these a while ago. They were putting up billboard ads all over and people were like, how weird is this? They wound up winning a bunch of ad awards for their campaign work. And again, you would think, okay, this is cemetery. What messaging? How can you connect with people? How can you make it relatable, right? Stuff like that. And one of their most successful ad campaign spots that they were running was a big billboard spot that they put multiple different places. And it said, there are no prerequisites for joining us, except, you know. And it was it. Like, that was their ad campaign, and it took off so well. And they ran an Olympic commercial. And now I'm guessing it was, like, more the regional, you know, the offshoots of Olympic commercials. But we have family up from Arizona, and they were like, did we just see a commercial for a cemetery? And so then I went down this path of explaining, like, yeah, but here's why. And I read off some of their stuff. So it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you don't think I would connect with a cemetery, but at the end of the day, everyone kind of knows what's going to happen in some way, shape, or form. And they leveraged it with really good copy and really creative ways of connecting with people, and now they, you know, have commercial spots and billboards all around. And my guess is that the interest in Lakeview Cemetery has suddenly gone up significantly because of their efforts.
And I'll tell you, that's a top-down situation there, in the sense that, and this really comes into play in terms of what you are putting out into the universe about your company, right? It's all about, it's the company culture, it's the company, it's the branding, it's the point of views, right? They really do continue. They're just a cemetery, right? Like, air quotes and all. Yeah, but it's, they continue to push it in terms of even the event programming they do. Literally one of the hardest 5Ks I ever did was through that cemetery grounds. Like, all hills. Like, whoever says Ohio is flat is lying to you, because once you go to Lakeview Cemetery, you will learn that it is not, the hard way. But it's, they are just visionaries in the sense of, how are we constantly pushing the envelopes to get people to see us differently, right? And that could be a very interesting approach to how you're authentic, right? We're more than just the hoodies and the side braid and the baseball cap backwards. You know, we are professionals in this organization, so we may be laid back, we may like to inject a lot of humor in what we do, but we do damn good work, if I say so myself. And, you know, from everything I've seen, I've been a part of this agency for a little over a year now, and I'm constantly blown away by my peers here. And I love to be the one to then get to push it out on the internet and be like, these guys, I get to work with these guys on the regular. So I love when people aren't afraid to really see it across their organization and then let their marketing team push it forward and out. It's wonderful to see.
For sure. It really is top down. I think you can't have great campaigns like that if your agency or your company is a little too structured, right? And they want to make it all about them, you know. They want to talk about, like, your big talking points, why my company matters, why, you know, we're in the best position to offer our product or service. You'll find that the most popular, you know, commercial spots to get the most, you know, kind of engagement and people talking about it, the most buzz, are typically the ones where the company really doesn't talk a whole lot about themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll talk about things like, they'll hit their main talking points, but in different ways. And I think, you know, if you look at Super Bowl commercials, they're always a good primer for like, okay, where is everyone taking us this year, right? And I think what you see every single year is you have like Doritos. Doritos knows their audience, right? And so they're going to make their commercials so weird. Like Doritos and Mountain Dew commercials are always going to be strange and out there and targeting their exact audience, and it connects well with them, right? But then you're going to have other companies that are going like tugging at heartstrings and doing all these things. And then, you know, Budweiser is going to pull some like puppy or like have the horses or, you know, like there's so many different ways. And they're not like talking about beer at all, right? They're not saying any of those things. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to get relatable content out there when there's people seeing it. The best companies do that when people aren't necessarily seeing it. And they kind of build this snowball effect. And then eventually people start to stumble upon it. And Pat, I know, I think it was 2 years ago, we kept getting advertisements for a company that basically offered lead gen, like sales type stuff for Facebook ads, right? And we would get these ads to us, and me and Pat would sit down and read them every time. This is super long form advertisement content. I mean, massive bits of content, but they were so entertaining. It was all about like, hey, do you want to find a really great side hustle? Let me tell you about porta potties. And you're like, what? Like, you immediately stop and you're like, what are you talking about? Why are you talking about porta potties to me, right? It's one of those like targeted efforts. You're just sitting here wondering like, why the hell am I getting this ad right now? And then you read through it and it's so entertaining. And it's like, listen, everyone has to go to the bathroom. Look for cities that are this size. Look for this, look for that, look for this. And then by the time we get done reading the article, we're like, do I need to be setting up a porta potty lead gen campaign? I think I do. Like, I think that's something I need to do, right? They in a weird way, like inspired us to want to buy their product without ever talking about their product. And that is kind of that key, because they made it relatable, right? They were relaxed. They clearly were targeting people that like wanted to do like entrepreneurial efforts, because this was that. It was kind of, you know, build up this little microsite, then go sell it to somebody who owns a porta potty rental business, right? And they had like a couple hundred different ads that all went down the same path, but the content was so relatable that we couldn't help but like print it off and literally just read it. Like, this is brilliant. So I think, you know, you can have your main talking points, but, and this will go towards Julia a little bit too, like test different tones. It, you know, they can still reach back to those main content points, right? But like, absolutely, test different tones. And run different ways of connecting with your audience. You never know what is actually gonna land and connect.
Well, and speaking of like connecting with your audience, beyond just like the copy and the words that you're putting out, like you need to be looking at where you're putting it out. If you have a younger audience, like you gotta be on TikTok right now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Facebook is moving towards like that older generation, mm-hmm. But it's also still like a great place for just about anyone. I still use Facebook, but a lot of my friends don't.
Yeah.
So it's like, you gotta look at the data and your audience and who that is and what like likes and dislikes they have, what age mm-hmm. they are, because that will point you in your direction of, okay, this is where I need to be. And then we move forward to the, okay, what do I need to be putting on these places?
Yeah. And I think, Pat, I know you and I use TikTok a lot. I think that's the brilliance of TikTok. It, you know, looking at content in a different way, not written content, right? But authenticity and relatability. Some of the biggest like people that have huge followings on TikTok, it's just because it's so relatable. Like, I think of it's me, Rod, right? Like, he's this millennial guy that has all this anxiety. He works from home and he's always worried about getting fired, but then he like dives into just being like millennial. Like, now he like posts videos with Backstreet Boys, with the members of NSYNC. He's posting all these like celebrity collabs. And this is just a dude that was in Chicago and decided to like be like authentic and like relatable about his struggles with anxiety working from home and always feeling like he's gonna get fired. And now he has this massive following and like I look forward to seeing his posts every single time he posts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think, you know, that kind of talks to even just the shift in, like, the creative space right now. We've gone from everyone expecting Instagram to be this, you know, perfect, like, high-quality, curated, like, photo that was probably shot on a SLR, and it was, like, then edited, and then it was brought in to finally post on your feed.
I mean, who does that? I mean,
we're seeing more and more stuff where it is just, like, you know, people are loving just quickly going out and creating a quick little video, and they're relating to it, right? So I think you're seeing, even from that standpoint, it's more authentic of, like, people are just going out and quickly creating stuff, and as long as they're getting it out there and what they're talking about is relating to who they're trying to talk to, it's going to do great. And it doesn't matter if it is overly produced or not. Like, both are going to work if it's going to the right audience.
Yep. And that's why live video works so well. That's why you're seeing a comeback in people selling on live video too. Like e-commerce stores, little shops, stuff like that. It QVC has been reinvented. Like, it literally is Facebook Live, Instagram Live, TikTok Live. You can sell products left and right. Now you're going to start to see in the next 1 to 2 years, you're going to see a like really good live product tagging on like live broadcast too. So people are going to be able to hold up their product and tag it while they're on their live feed, and then you can click on that tag and buy that product right away. Tell me how that's any different than QVC or any of the shopping things in the 90s where they would just dump like their phone number and call now, hurry, call now. It's the same thing reinvented for the audience of today, right? And that's back to Julia's point, is you got to know where your users are, and you need to just speak to them and find them where they are. Don't be stubborn and say, well, I only know how to use this one platform, so I don't care where my users are. That's what I'm using.
Don't make them come to you. You need to go to them.
100%.
Well, this is probably one of my favorite conversations we've had in a while. And I really love to hear, you know, everyone's, you know, interjections. And I can't wait to dive in more for more in a future episode, you guys. So this is it for today. Thanks for tuning in to the Sip, Create, Repeat podcast and YouTube. Make sure to smash that subscribe button. Follow us at Hey It's Handshake on all the social media sites. And hopefully we'll see you sometime soon. Thanks so much.